Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. You know, I was wondering, you know, we're moving into that fall home buying and selling season. It's getting to that time, and it's been a wild market so far this year, and it doesn't really look like anything's going to change through year end. It looks like we're going to keep this market pretty much like it has been, so the wild ride should continue. Have you thought about buying a home? And this market is critical. You have the right realtor for the job. You know, that is extremely important, and I think sometimes people think because it's so busy, you know, that's not as important, but it actually is extremely important. We talked about hiring a contractor, you know, a few shows ago, and this is another one. You know, hiring the right real estate agent, the realtor, is incredibly important. So I wanted to talk about the ways, you know, what you should do and what you should go through when you're talking to a real estate agent. And I came up with this based on my conversations with several agents and what they thought. So they gave me you know, what they thought, you know, so what should you do? And my question was, you know, what should somebody do when they think that, you know, they're going to either buy or sell a home, buy a home, sell a home? What should they do? How should they go about it? What are the steps that they should go through? And I put this together based on that. And, you know, it really doesn't matter if you're purchasing your first home or this is the fifth home you're purchasing. The home buying process can create many emotions and feelings, and it also changes quite often. So one of the best ways to ensure the process is not overwhelming is to be well educated and properly prepared for the process, and the realtor is vital in that piece. There are many questions that you have to have at the start and throughout the process. Even an experienced home buyer can forget exactly how the process works. We just don't do it all the time. You know, we don't do it enough. So you just need to be prepared. When buying a home, one of the most important things to understand is that no question is a dumb question. And I know I'll have people tell me in the financing, you know, I know this is a dumb question. There aren't really, it isn't a dumb question. If you don't know the answer to it, you should ask. It may be a simple question, but it's not a dumb question. And if you're unsure of something when buying a home or financing, you just have to ask. So what are the questions to ask before you start the home buying process? Number one question, every agent I talk to says, is you should talk to a lender before looking at homes. And why? Number one, they said it helps you understand exactly how much you can afford. There is no reason to look at homes that are listed for $250,000 if you can only afford $200,000. I can tell you that is a big deal. If you're looking at the wrong price range, it can be, especially if you're looking above the price range that you can qualify for. You look at a $250,000, $300,000 house when you can only afford a $200,000 house, when you can only be qualified for a $200,000 house, there is a dramatic difference. And then once you've done that, it's very hard to settle for that $200,000 house. And so you really want to know what that number is so that you're looking at the proper homes, that your expectations are in the right area. And also, if you go, well, that just isn't enough, you can always not buy a house and wait till you can afford more, get an increase in pay and save more money, whatever it happens to be that you need to do to get to be able to do that. Or you go ahead and you buy something that it may not be perfect, but you want to take the appreciation and use that to help get to the next home over, you know, renting. Now, another reason would be so you understand exactly what the costs are associated with buying a home, because there are, as we talked last week, there's a lot of cost that many home buyers just don't understand, and they don't understand the difference between the down payment, the prepaid items, and the escrow, the closing costs, and they really need to be explained, and we need to go through those items. So you you know, something that we really should talk about. And we want to give you, you know, by doing that, we can give advice on the type of financing. Once I understand what it is that you are wanting to accomplish, how you want to do it, I can walk through the proper financing options, give you some options that will make the most sense. That really is important, and helps you then get the right house with the right financing, so this is important because there's so many things you can do. Let's say you don't have the money that you need for all of the additional costs, other than you have your down payment, you may have some additional money, but maybe you need a little bit extra maybe you need the closing costs covered. There's ways to do that. You can go to the seller and you can ask them to contribute. So when you make an offer, you could offer, let's say you need $3,000 for closing costs and prepaid items. You can ask them to pay $3,000 towards closing costs, prepaid and all lender acceptable costs. And if they agree to that, then they pay those fees for you. So that can all be done. But we want to make sure that you're not getting too many fees paid, because you can only have so much money. And in other words, you're covering all, it's only fees that you're covering, because if you end up with too much money, you can end up not getting it all because you can't use it. So it is important that we do that. And that, when the seller is doing that, that's known as a seller's concession. So when you're buying a house, if you're here, seller's concession, that is the seller giving you money for something, usually for closing costs. Now understand, they cannot give you money for down payment. The seller can't, your real estate agent can't, only gifts can only come from family members. And so you can't get money from others. If the seller gives it, it's called an inducement to buy, and that's not legal. So you got to be really careful that's done. If you have a real estate agent, you're not going to have that problem. They aren't going to do something like that. Another question, should I buy or continue to rent? This is one of those right up front. And, you know, buying a home, it can be a great investment. We all know that. It can be very solid. It's been great this last few years. But that being said, rent can be a better option for some people. I'll give you an example. My son years ago was living in Cincinnati, and he and his wife were thinking about buying a house. And they wanted to know whether they should or not. We were talking, and I said, well, how long are you going to be in Cincinnati? And they thought, well, maybe a year or 2 years. My advice to them was, if you're there that short a period of time, looking at what the homes were appreciating at the time, I wouldn't buy. I would continue to rent. The reason was because you take out your real estate commission, and in Cincinnati at the time, they were increasing values of about little bit over 3% a year. You aren't even going to cover, if 2 years you cover your real estate commissions, you know, that's about it for selling your house. So to me, that wasn't a good thing. Plus, you know, it makes it a lot harder to move if you have a house to sell in the normal market. Not in this market, when it takes 15 days to sell your house, or 14 days to sell your house. But in some markets, it takes 45, 60 days. And so it's just better. If you're short term, it might not be the best thing. And again, there is no 100% correct answer here, because your situation is what's going to determine the right answer for you. But it's renting might be, for some people, will be the best thing to do. Even though, you know, right now interest rates are low, it can be cheaper to buy rather than rent. But again, we have to worry about how long you're going to be there. If you think you're going to be there 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, then buying a home can definitely be, could most likely be your best option. Again, it's something we'd want to talk about. And the way to do that is just contact me at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's my website. Go there. It has my phone numbers, has my email address. You can contact me in the contact information there. And then we can talk about your situation and point you in the right direction, and, you know, make sure that you know what's available to you. There's a few other questions that you can ask yourself before deciding to buy a house. And it's important. There's important things to consider. One of them is the length you plan on staying at home, as we talked about. Another is, are you ready to take on the responsibilities of owning a home? You know, there's a lot of responsibility when you own a home, that you general maintenance on the home, things can happen. You know, when you're renting, your toilet backs up, you call somebody, the management, they come fix it. When you own the home, you either fix it yourself, or you have to call a plumber and have them come fix that type of thing, and your HVAC, your air conditioning and heating system, everything in the house. There's things that can be done. You might need to paint. You just have to decide if, you know, it's the right time for you to take on those responsibilities, and that's something you want to do. But buying a home, it can be a great option in many cases, but it just isn't always. And after the break, we're going to talk more about how to find the correct real estate agent.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you again for joining me today. I certainly appreciate it. We're talking about the right questions to ask before you start a home buying process. All in all, we're really talking about, you know, how you find the right real estate agent for you when you're looking to buy a home. It still goes for selling a home too, but, you know, when you're looking to buy a home, it's extremely important that you get the right person, as it is with everything you do. Just like when we talked about the, you know, when you're doing a remodel, you want to have the right contractor. Well, you definitely want to have the right real estate agent when you're looking to sell your home. So it's extremely important that you do find that right agent. And before we talk more about that,
now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking to Larry the other day. He's a friend of mine, and he was purchasing a home, and he wanted to know what happens if the appraisal happened to come in low than what he's, you know, low or lower than the purchase price. So we'll just use some just made up numbers. So let's say the purchase price is $300,000. He wanted to know if it appraised at $290,000, let's say, what happens? And really, there's several things that can happen. And this is happening more in this market than I've seen in most markets, because you, until somebody closes at the higher amounts, it's hard to get the comps for the appraisal. So once you close, yours now becomes a comp, and now somebody else can appraise at that, but it's hard to get yours to appraise at that. So when you're looking at that, if it's $300,000 is what you paid and it's $290,000, now some of this is in the offer. Right now, a lot of people are saying they'll cover X amount of dollars over list price. So there's many, many people that are saying, you know, we'll offer $300,000, but you know, that's $10,000 over, but we're only going, you know, but we will only cover $5,000 over the appraised value, meaning that they would have to bring an additional $5,000 over their normal down payment to finance the home. So that's one thing that can happen, is if you've agreed to do that, you can do that and you can go ahead and close on the home just like it is. If you agreed to $10,000 that came in, you can do that. Another thing that can be done is you renegotiate the price. Most people, not everybody, but most people will renegotiate and either go down to the price of the appraisal or try to negotiate something in between the purchase price and the appraised value. Now, sometimes the seller or the agent will be adamant that the house should be higher, and they may not do that, but it's very, very rare. I can't even remember a time I've had it where it wasn't somehow negotiated and made to work. Most of the time, that's what happens. So those are kind of the basic things that you can do. What has to happen is if you pay more than the appraised value, the value of the property for a lender is the appraised value or the sales price, whichever's lower. So if you paid $300,000, it appraised for $290,000, then we're going to use $290,000. So if you agree, okay, we can buy it for $295,000, they lower their price $5,000, but you're still $5,000 over the appraised value, you're going to need to bring that $5,000 plus whatever you were bringing to closing for your down payment. So let's say that's how it's looked at. A lot of people are doing that right now. They know it's going to happen. And if you're putting 20% down and you don't have any more, then what happens is you just aren't putting 20% down, because you're putting, you know, you're putting something less than 20%, because that $5,000 is not going towards the loan to value. But it's not a big deal. It can be done. And then, you know, one of the nice things is that once you've closed on that home, that becomes the comp. So now others can appraise at higher value. And so you can, you know, you'll see, it's not that like you lose that value necessarily, because now other people can close at that value. And as more people close and they get their comps, you know, yours is a comp, so they get their values, then those houses go up and we can get an appraisal later, you know, at a higher value. Just can't get it at the time. So that's how that works. But let's get back to hiring a real estate agent. And actually, for what we were just talking about, that's another piece of it. Having a solid real estate agent is extremely important if you have to renegotiate. Once you agree on a price, you have your appraisal, you do this or an inspection, and you have to renegotiate, that real estate agent is critical in that process. So it really makes a difference. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but I wanted to add that in here. You know, we're talking about before you list it, what other questions would you ask? Well, can I find a rent-to-own property is a one that I'm told is a pretty big question that happens. And it's not that you can't find a rent-to-own property. They are somewhat of a needle in the haystack, but it certainly is a possibility. But you have to understand, if you rent-to-own, it means generally that person can't finance the home under normal finances. So if you do a rent to own, you're probably not going to get as advantageous terms from the homeowner as you would from a lender. Your rate will probably be higher. Your cost could be higher. Just everything could be a little different because they're taking on the risk. And most of the time, not always, but most of the time, somebody who does a rent to own is a higher risk borrower because they can't go get financed. Could be other reasons. Somebody could be self-employed and they haven't been there long enough. But even then, that's still, I mean, the reality is that there's a reason that they can't get financed. And under, you know, generally you would say that they're a higher risk. So you're going to have worse terms than what you would with a lender normally. So you always want to check. You definitely want to see if you can be financed through normal processes, because it's going to be a lot better for you, a lot less, you know, you're going to have better rates, better terms. And so it's just going to be a much better situation for you. If you are, you know, do end up in that situation, or you end up rent to own, at some point you're going to have to finance it. Just, you know, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Look me up and contact me from there, or call or email me, and we will talk about your situation. Now, what's another question is that is asked a lot is, I own a home. Should I buy another home before selling my current home? Huge question. A lot of people want to know this. There's truly no concrete, correct answer to that question. There are pros and cons to the buying a home before selling your current home, and the same can be said about selling your current home before buying another. So it just depends, you know. There's just no one answer for this. Buying a home before selling your current home. These are the pros and cons. The biggest benefit to buying a home before selling your current home is the fact that you have a suitable property lined up. This can reduce the stress and pressure of having to find a home once your current home is sold. This, however, can also create disappointment and heartbreak if you are unable to purchase a new home without having to sell your current home. Your purchase offer is going to be contingent upon selling and transfer of title of your current home. If your current home does not sell in a timely manner, this can lead to you getting bumped by a non-contingent buyer or you losing out on the home you're looking to purchase, which can be devastating. So if you're want to sell first and you're contingent, that can, especially in this market, that can keep you from getting a home. So you go, you look at homes, you make an offer contingent. I'm told that a lot of this, what they do right now is they put all the offers together. They have everybody, most of them, a lot of times they're having you have a drop dead date. We need the offers by, let's say, 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon. So they get all their offers, they go through, and the first thing they do, as I think most of us would do, is you eliminate offers. We don't want this one. We don't want this one. We don't want this one. And they eliminate those offers that are contingent. Because if you have five offers and two are contingent and three aren't contingent, you're going to go with the non-contingent offers. So that's now, if they don't have anything but contingency, then they might look at that. But in today's market, we're just not seeing that. We're seeing most houses are going non-contingent. So they lay those out and they get rid of that. So if you can get rid of those contingencies, that can help you get your offer accepted. Selling your current home before buying a new home. So this is let's sell the home. Now remember, if you buy, you're buying a home before you sell your current home, is if you do that and you end up with that, you know, you've closed on this house and you still have your other house, and if it takes some time to sell your current home, one of the things that you have to consider is that most people think they're going to sell it, no problem. That's what they think. But you have to plan on it. What if it takes 6 months, 8 months, a year? I saw one that took 2 years. It was an unique property, and they knew it might take some time, so they didn't walk into it blind, but it did take some time to sell. But you know, you have to consider it and understand, you know, the realities of how long it might take. In this market, doesn't take any time at all. Some markets, it takes a lot longer. So, but you have to look at that and you have to plan for that, because it can be very difficult if you now have a house that you're making payments on two homes, and you just have to know that you can afford it and it's comfortable, that it's not going to devastate you by having a house sitting there that's sitting there vacant, because you still have to cut the grass, you still have to pay for the utilities, you still have to maintain that property just like your other one, plus make your mortgage payments and keep it looking good so it can sell. So what if you decide, okay, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to take that risk. I don't want to have that house. I don't want to have two mortgage payments or have that house. What else can I do? Well, you sell your current home before buying a new home. In this market, that's somewhat difficult because, again, like I said, they delete your offer. If you're contingent, if they have a bunch of non-contingent offers and yours contingent, they don't go with it. If they have a cash offer over contingent offer, they're going to go with the cash offer. So the other thing is that it can take some time to sell your current home, and how long it will take is very unpredictable. In this market, it seems to be very quickly for the vast majority of people, so it'd be good, but in all markets, most markets, it's not that way. There's no crystal ball that exists that can tell us exactly how many days it will take to sell your home. And before you buy a new home, it could put you in an ideal position to negotiate on a new home you're purchasing due to the fact that you are purchasing without a sales contingency of your current house. So it is easier to negotiate if you're not contingent, especially, again, like I said, in this market. One risk of selling your current home without buying a new home first is the chance of not being able to have a place to live. There are options if your current home sells before buying another, though. A rent back can sometimes be negotiated. Now, what that is that you sell your house, but you rent it back for a month or two while you're trying to find a house and close on a new house. So a rent back is a possibility. And that would allow you to stay in your current home while you're doing that. Remember, when you're selling a house or when you're buying a house, you can negotiate all those things. Now, one thing to know on a rent back is the seller or the buyer, when they do a financing, when they do a mortgage, they're agreeing that they're going to move into that home within 60 days. So you can't go past 60 days. It cannot be past 60 days, or they can't meet that requirement. And that means they couldn't finance it as a primary residence. It would have to be financed as a non-owner occupied property. And that changes a tremendous amount of things. So it's something that most people would want to avoid. And this is another question. Do you really need a realtor when buying a home? When buying a home, it's strongly recommended. I mean, strongly recommended that you have a realtor and you have a really good one. There are many reasons why you should have a realtor representing your best interest when buying a home. Keep in mind, all realtors are not the same. When choosing a buyer's agent, make sure you know how to properly interview prospective realtors when buying a home. So this is, you know, a buyer's agent is an agent that works for you when you're buying a home. In a normal transaction, the real estate agent is working for the seller because that's who's paying them. But you can have an agreement with your agent and they can become your buyer's agent. Some agents make you sign a contract that you won't calls out everything. Some agents do not. You just have to see who you're most comfortable with and what works best. And if you're comfortable with, if somebody has a contract, I'm told by a lot of agents that they think that the contract is not not good. So number one, you know, when you're talking to a real estate agent to be your agent, how much experience do they have? How long have they been a real estate agent? How long have they been licensed? You know, how many, are they a full-time or a part-time job? Some agents are only doing this part-time. That's not necessarily terrible, but if that's an issue, if that's what they're doing, you want to find out how they're doing it, how they're being able to be able to still take care of you as a part-time agent. And what's their real estate track record? How many homes did they sell as a buyer's agent last year? So how many homes did they sell? As a real estate agent, representing buyers is different than representing sellers. It's obvious. There are different tasks that the buyer's agent is responsible for during the transaction and the same for the seller's agent. It's important to know how many homes a potential buyer's agent sold last year while representing the buyers. You need to know that. On average, how many buyers are you actively working with? Another great question. So you want to know how many they're working with. That won't be huge numbers. If it is, then you want to know how they're able to handle that many people. If it's, you know, you just got to know the information so you can make the decision. On average, as another great question, on average, how many homes do you generally show your buyers? Now, some people, you know, there are some buyers who believe that a real estate agent would prefer only to, you know, have to show a couple of houses to their buyers before they purchased a home. And this can be true. And in most cases, a great buyer's agent will only show, you know, have to show 5 to 10 homes to their clients. So they don't have to show a whole bunch because they've done their homework up front. They've asked the questions. A great buyer's agent will be able to identify the client's wants, needs, and preferences and be able to really narrow it down and not have to show so many houses. Today's market could be a little different because it is so difficult to find homes. Past client satisfaction. Of course, you want to know what their satisfaction is and did everything go well. Agreements and requirements. If they're going to be your agent, what are their requirements? What are the agreements? And, you know, we're unfortunately running out of time. So I'm going to pick this up next time. So in the next show, we'll talk more about how to hire the proper real estate agent. That will be next Saturday, 3:30, right here on Freedom 95. If you need to get a hold of me, just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can call or text me from there. Thanks again and have a great weekend.